Parshas Ekev, we notice that Ekev is an unusual lashon to use for because. And we see why, as Rashi brings from Chazal, that the Ekev is the heel, as we know. And in HaMitzvah Kalu Shadam B'dosh Ba'akev of Tishmeum, if the, so to speak, light mitzvahs, which people tend to tread with their heels upon, not thinking, considering it important, if those mitzvahs you will also be careful about, then you will get all the brachas that I mentioned. And we have to mention some standard ones that we probably heard before, but bears mentioning again because we still see it, Rachman and Slaim. The talking during tefillah, for instance, Chazaras HaShatz, which we also find in Shulchan Aruch, using a very strong lashon, a lashon of that if one talks during Chazaras HaShatz, it's called a chote, gadol avono minso, too much to bear such a sin. The Gorimbo, we rebuke him. And the Mefarshim talk about the Rachman Utzlan punishments for this Aveira. The Bati Midrashim, Beis Knesset, is being destroyed because of it, Rachman Utzlan. And to understand why, in one way, as Rav Salomon Shlita explains, if someone is at a court of law and they're being judged in front of the judge, can you imagine what would happen if the judge notices while the defendant is being judged, he's busy talking and schmoozing with others? Huh? He doesn't give a hoot, so to speak, about what happens. Okay, shows you how much he cares. Kal v'chome, ben benoshel kal v'chome, melech malchei amlochim were being judged before. How much more so should we give our full attention and pleadings and silence to listen to our shliach tzibur? And of course, much more so when you yourself are davening. Imagine if you would go to an earthly king, president, pleading your case. And what would happen if you come in front of him and go, if you even do that, or scan a page with your eyes, Rachman Litzlan, not even uttering a sound, which we know the halacha is to at least whisper so you can at least hear the words yourself. Not to say too loud, also we should mention to disturb others, they are davening. But also to have kavana, what you're saying. Imagine not even thinking about what you're saying when you're in front of a king, an earthly king, for your life, for your needs. We wouldn't think of it. And yet, what do we find when we utter a bracha, when we daven, the kavana, just the minimum of pirush hamilos to have and say it properly. Don't swallow the words, each word clearly in a whisper, as long as you yourself can hear the words. As the Gemara in Bracha says, from the Pasuk in Tehillim, they darshan krum zulus livnei adam, dvarim shetulim berumo shalolam, vnei adam izalzim behen. Things that reach the highest spheres of heaven, and people degrade them, are not careful about them. And as Rashi brings for an example, the tefillah, prayer, that can break through all barriers to answer our prayers if we do it sincerely and with the proper kavana and feeling. And therefore, we have to mention also learning, even learning Torah during the time of davening. When all of a sudden we see people, they become the biggest masmidim. Diligent students learning so well, all of a sudden, at Zman Tefillah. There's a time for everything, as the Pasuk in Kehelet says. And at the time for tefillah is tefillah. Not to learn all of a sudden. And even, which I would say is rare, because one who truly learns would know that halacha, as is brought in Shulchan Aruch also, not to learn during that time. Because not only that you should answer, as we talked about before, a proper decorum during the davening, but what will other people learn from you? Whether it's your children, whether it's your peers, whoever else is in shul, and look at you as an example. And we know that even if people don't use you as an example for good, they're always quick to look at it for the bad. Or of course, Lashon Hara Rachman Litzlan. And we're not even talking about the big Lashon Hara. We're talking about Lashon Hara that is much easier to control and people make light of it. Or the Avak Lashon Hara. What's the excuse? And not for anything should we ever use the excuse, well, everybody else is doing it. Because as we well know, if we want to look and examine things, there are those that don't. There are two lines upstairs, one going to Gan Eden, the other, Rachman Litzlan, you know where. And when a person is going on that line, and they say, why am I not on the other line? And they give them the answer, well, you wanted to follow what everybody else, in quotes, are doing. That line did not go that way. They knew the right way and didn't let the Yetzer Hara win over them. And that's true for any Aveira. And we should mention another example, which should be talked about, and we don't hear much talking about it. And it's a Mr. Shmuz within itself. It's the practice that even B'nai Torah, Rachman Litzlan, have, that they say a Divrei Torah over to someone else. So, Gesunte Heit, very nice, you want to give over a Dvar Torah to a Chavrus, a Chavre, anyone else, we're all wanting good. Hopefully with good kavanas. But one thing for sure, to try to catch the other person, to try to stump the other person, is a terrible thing. To embarrass that other person, and chas v'shalom, that's the kavana. To build yourself up at the expense of others, being other machaveiro like that, Rachman Litzlan, is a terrible sin. It goes along the lines of the Gemara. And one, as Tosfos learns, will come to be kanter in B'divrei Torah. That kind of shalo lishma, neichlo shalo nivra. Better that he wasn't born, Rachman Litzlan. And that's the same thing we're talking about here. Gesunte Heit, give over your Dvar Torah. But where in the world do you come off? You just prepared it. How could you have a chutzpah to try to catch the other guy to say, oh, do you know this? You know the answer to this? Even if he doesn't, what's the big deal? You yourself didn't know it before you prepared it. And we find that in many ways. And it's a terrible problem. And in Mitzvah Shem, all these problems should be gotten rid of, and everyone should be chozer b'tshuva to clear up their slate. Rosh Hashiva Shlita in Kol Dodi gives another beautiful pshat in Ekev. Again, as we said, it comes from the heel, the extremity, that if one does the will of Hashem to the utmost, not just to be Yetzer Zayin, to get it over with, to get it done with, but goes even lifnim Yishuras Hadin, as the Gemara in Bava Metzia says, Lo nechev Rabbi Yerushalayim, elem shum she'emidu dineim al din Torah. They wanted the letter of the law only, and they didn't do lifnim Yishuras Hadin. Of course, we're talking about people that understand this, that should and can do their utmost, but don't. And we should understand that. That if you really care, if you really show and appreciate all that Hashem has done for you, the universe, without Him, nothing would exist. Just as you know, if someone you love and care for or want to obey, and you want to make an impression, so to speak, on them even, that you'll do what they want you to do, even though they didn't say it. But you know that that's what they want you to do. You know that they would please them. You would certainly do it. That we should do that. That we should do our utmost, the extremity, the extreme. As the Darash Moshe also explains from another Gemara in Bava Metzia, that we see that if a person understands and is on that madrega, the lifnim yishuras hadin becomes to him the din, as rightfully so. And you should be happy with that. You're going to say, oh, that's not fair? Think of it. Hashem doesn't expect from anyone more than they can handle. Not only that, what does He want from them? For that, to give them the greatest good and happiness for all eternity. Shouldn't we be bending over backwards for that? What more can I do for you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What more can I do to please you? Once we understand that, everything becomes not a burden, but the biggest happiness, the biggest simcha, the biggest treasure to hold on to fulfill, always. I often think of an example, someone who had a choice to be able to have the greatest riches for all eternity, never having to ever lack anything. But he has to carry, so to speak, these riches through a desert, without any food or water. He will not die, guaranteed, but it will be the hardest struggle with his, so to speak, last ounce of strength to fulfill it for weeks. What would you say that person would do? I'm sure we all agree that if we took a picture of that person, with his back-breaking effort and sweat, he would have the biggest smile on his face. How much more so the guarantees of Hashem to do His mitzvahs, which if we really think about it and realize it, the hardships would also be taken with the greatest simcha, not even thought of as hardships. It would be thought of just more steps to take in our spiritual growth, to fulfill Hashem's will, to have the greatest simcha in Gan Eden, L'olam Boed. Or, Bahavdil, when you hear about the stories, for instance, to name just one of many people who work out 18 hours a day to get that Olympic gold for years. And what is it for them? The greatest joy, with their sweating and back-breaking physical exertion. It's all the greatest joy for them, for that gold. Think about it. Rosh Hashiva Shlita points out an interesting thing. It's amazing. In Pasuk Tes Zayin, which deals with Avodah Zarah, we would think that what's the reason not to be Oyved Avodah Zarah, to have another religion? Because is that covered to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You owe him so much and you're going to turn to others, false religions, false gods. And yet, that's not what interests HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What interests HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the effect on us, ourselves. Look what Pasuk Tes Zayin says. V'lo sa'avodas Elohim ki mokesh hu loch, because it is a sneer for you. It is to your detriment. No mention as far as Kavod Shemayim. What is it mentioned? What it will do to you. Because down, down, down. As we spoke last week, it can reach the depths, the low of the lows. When we saw with Baal Peor, and we explained last week, and that's the point here, that it starts out not as bad, in quotes, as you might think on you yourself, to give in to the Yetzer Hara because of the desires, whatever that's driving you, but it doesn't stop there. As Rosh Hashiva's father, Reb Moshe Zatzal, explained beautifully with Avram Avinu and Avimelech, when Avimelech called Avram Avinu to come to him, to complain to him, why didn't he tell him that Sarah was his sister? And what does Avraham Avinu tell him? Rak ki ein yiras Elokim b'makom hazeh. It's a strange answer offhand, isn't it? What is he telling him? But pshat is that what Avimelech was saying is, what did you have to fear? We're a civilized place here. We have laws against killing someone to take their wife. What did you have to fear? But Avraham Avinu understood and told him, your laws do not mean anything because they are man-made laws. Religion made up by people, as we explained also and showed in the Torah, one person, so to speak, prophet, saying witness, not like Bnei Israel, a whole nation, just of the 600,000 from 20 to 60 of the men, seeing, which the nations of the world also agree, the Old Testament, seeing Har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, appear to them and give them the Torah. That's not the same when you have laws that are man-made that can be changed. And as history points out, and even recent history, like the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, who all thought were so cultured, civilized. And yet, what happened? All, so to speak, overnight, murder, genocide, becomes the mitzvah. All of a sudden, their laws are turned around and laws are made to do just the opposite. And that's it. That's the bottom line. When it's man-made, when they're not divine from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, it can be changed. Because the same human mind that made those laws can make different laws as he sees fit, as the Yetzirah drives him. But once you have that emuna and you know that it's a Kodesh Baruch Hu's laws, you can't change a Kodesh Baruch Hu's mind. What's right is right and wrong is wrong. Your mind cannot affect that. And that's why then you don't have to worry. And if it was like that, Avraham Avinu wouldn't have to worry. And that's what it's saying here also. The Mokesh and the Iker is for you, my dear children, Hashem is saying. Not to go after Avodah Zarah, not to go away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for your own good, because it just leads to Gehenna, Rachman Lazar. But following me leads to the greatest happiness forever after, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu together. Rosh Hashiva points out in Pasuk Yutes, we see we have a split here. Hamasos hagdolos esharu einecha. The great masos, as Rashi explains in the Sionos, that you yourself saw in the Midbar, this door, and that, as we will near to Shem explain, when it says later on, for instance, the man, the Gilu Shechina, that they saw themselves. And the Osos, the most in Yad Chazak, was on Triyash, as Yacha Hashem Elokecha, in Mitzrayim, that many of them did not see. That's why it doesn't say Hasharu Einecha. And that's why also you notice in the from the Agadim from Parshas Kisavo, it mentions Moragodol also, besides these four. But here it leaves it out. Why? Because that Moragodol, as we know from the Agadah, that's the Gzegilu Shechina, which we just explained, that they themselves saw. And this Gilu Shechina that we see in the Pesukim later on, Perikhes, Pasuk Beis and Gimel, and Pasuk Tezayin, and we notice that they're two separate things. Of course, they wouldn't be repeated, the same thing. There's an inui, affliction, and a testing, l'nasoscha, in Beis and Gimel, and then again in Pasuk Tezayin. But in Beis and Gimel, what it's talking about, as the Aruch Hayim explains, is the inui and testing of the Midbar itself. To go into a desert, a place where there's no food, no water, and still have betochen, emunah in Hashem, that He will take care of them, and to teach them that, just as the pasuk says, lo al alechem levadu yichyeh adam, ki al kol motzav Hashem yichyeh adam. Everything is a source of Hashem. If He takes care of you, you'll have no worries. Whereas in Pasuk Tes Zayin, as the Gemara explains, that's talking about the inui and the soyin of the man itself. The fact that they didn't have, for instance, the hanoi of seeing the food, it all looked the same, whether it was a steak, for instance, that they wanted to eat, or whatever it was, it had the same look of the man, Sapichas Vash, and that it came each day the supply that they needed for that day, not more, not less. And that was also the testing ground to see, will they be satisfied with that, that they will understand that that's for their good, that they should just appreciate that they have what they need, and they should be good boys and not take it for granted that they have their supply. As we know, nothing is for granted. But as we see throughout history, and as the Torah warns, for instance, in Pasuk Yud Beis before this, Pentochal v'savot uvatam tovim tivne v'yashavta, and further in Yud Gimel, and so on, and it will lead to v'ram levavcha, v'ram levavecha, you will get haughty and forget Chas V'Shalom Hashem that took you out and that supplies you with everything. That's what happens. The danger of the brachas, if you're not always aware and remember where it's coming from, through your riches. As at the end of the Sedra, also in Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Tes Zayin, where Rashi brings down the same point, how we have it all too often, how the riches and the brachas, they take it for granted, pas pesalo, that it can chas v'shalom lead to Pasuk Yud Zayin, the koichi v'yotzim yodi yosali yasachayel azeh, and they don't remember that it's all from Hashem. That's why we need constant reminders. We can't just say once a day even, or it's in the books, whenever I want to I can look it up. No, we have to be constantly reminded by learning Torah whenever we can, doing the mitzvahs whenever we can, whenever we're supposed to, in order that the Yetzer cannot sneak in and make us lose sight of what's important. Like the beginning of the parasha in Pasuk Yudches, Zachot is God. You have to remember in order to remember. You have to constantly remember in order you should never forget, that you should continue to remember in the future. Zahara at times tells a person that if they do a certain mitzvah or mitzvahs, they won't have strength to do other mitzvahs during the day or to carry on what they have to do. And we're not talking about if someone's sick, Chas V'Shalom, or whatever, and they have a valid excuse. But we know the kinds of Yetzirahs that come into play. And the Or Chaim says a beautiful pshat in Pasuk Ches before Shishi, that that's what the Torah is for warning us about, that kind of Yetzirah. That just the opposite, if Shmartim is kol mitzvah asher anochi mitzavcha hayom, leman techezgu, in order that you techezgu, that you should be strong, it won't weaken you. In fact, it will make you strong. A good example would be the soldiers of Bnei Yisrael, the tzaddikim, that went to war. They would fast in order to do a proper tshuva for whatever they had wrong, and therefore not that it would weaken them. No, it would strengthen them, because the strength comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if you're doing what He wants you to do, you won't have to worry about it. And that's what the Pasuk is telling us also. To get up, to go to the minyan or whatever.
Hazinu. The parasha begins with Hazinu Hashamayim Badabera B'Tishma Oretzim Rifi. As we noticed, the Shamayim is addressed with the Lashon Dibur, Lashon Kosher, whereas the Oretz is addressed with a Lashon Raka, Amira, as Rashi brings down other times in Chumash. And we can say that the reason for this is Shemayim symbolizing a ruchniyistic person, spiritual. One doesn't have to mince words. He can talk straight, tough. He's able to take it. He loves the Musa. Whereas a person who is less spiritual, symbolized by the Oretz, physical, material, one has to speak softly, be careful of what he says in order to get the point across. It's also the continuation of the next pasuk. Yaros kamato lekhi tizal katalim rosi. As Rosh Hashiva Shlita explains, the Yarov, as Chazal explained, from Odef, neck, symbolizing also of Egla Rufa, when its neck is broken. So that also, as Rashi brings from Chazal too, that the Mata, not always is it B'simcha, Chas V'Shalom a flood at the wrong times, whereas Tal do, it's always good, it's always B'simcha. And what the Pasuk is telling us is that even when it has to be done in a harsh way, because a person needs tough musa or a tough chas v'shalom punishment, that it should come through the Torah to break the neck, break the kashay odaf, the stiff neck, that they should listen, just like the matar, that it does good